How you guys doing today? Woo! Great. Well, hey, my name's Todd. I'm pastor here, one of them. And I am Batman on the side. Nice. Who said that? Yeah. All right. Well, hey, it became winter very fast. You agree? Seems like it was like warm. I even heard people saying like, we're not going to get any snow. And now someone yesterday told me like the Arctic tundra is coming in the next, like the coldest that we've ever heard. Thank you. I didn't believe Clint until you nodded your head, truthfully. So now I believe it, genuinely. So that's crazy, right? It just, you wake up and it's here. It became winter fast. It's cold. It's kind of dreary. Things feel slow, right? Feel gray. Like, it looks gray. Feels gray. You know, we get stuck. Everything feels stuck. Like it's almost kind of symbolic, right? Your car's stuck. You got to get ice off in the morning. You got your shoes get stuck. And what happens when it's cold and you're stuck and it's icy and it's gray and you have sad, right? You guys ever heard of that? Seasonal affective something disorder. Pretty much you get sad when the sun's gone. That's me. We just want to stay inside. We want to keep warmish. Warm-ish, because you're not going to get warm. We want to be comfortable. It's not exciting or fun right now, right? Holidays are over, so we had this big high, and then we kind of come down on the crash on the other side of New Year's, and we're like, some of you still recovering maybe, and we're just functioning. It's kind of like hibernation. We're waiting. It's really cold. And it's, I mentioned this a second ago, it's symbolic in a lot of ways, at least for me, and honestly, for everyone. P.S., pause, let me stop. I got to tell you one of my New Year's resolutions. This is important. Because it came up. And it's not just because. I'm no longer going to make a joke when people get up to go to the bathroom. I'm never going to do it anymore. Here's why. I found out that people are genuinely frightened to move because they think I'm going to call them out. So it's never going to happen again. You're free to go. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist it. So feel free to go to the bathroom, whatever you want to do. All right, back. So my, you can hold me to that. New Year's resolution. Kaylee, get on it. It's symbolic in a lot of ways. And I don't know about you, but it feels like, and I mean this, and I see it in our congregation, but I got to start with me. I can feel my temperature getting colder as it gets colder. It becomes easier for me to justify staying inside, right? Literally and figuratively. Spend time with you, it's cold, right? Go help with something, there's ice on my car, right? Go to church, I got a sore throat, right? I'm not talking if you got the plague that's going around. You know what I mean. It feels like maybe I'm getting cold right along with the temperature. I'm getting stuck and iced over. And here's the thing, for this church, if you're a guest, you get a pass here. This is you too. There are people that are sick. There's a sickness going around. We all deal with it right now. But there's also people that are just cold. They're iced over. And they get to use this time of year. And I'm talking about remnant folk, right? And they get to say, right, well, if everybody's sick and everybody's, then I'll slide on in there too. And it's an example. I'm not shaming people for not being here. But what I'm saying is, if I think to myself, I had the temptation to do that. I had another person ready to preach today. Ready, set up to go. I wasn't going to be here. And yeah, I don't feel great, and you know, I had all these justifications and all these reasons, but at the end of the day, the truth is, I'm just selfish. I was iced over. I'm discouraged. The people around me, and maybe you guys see this too, whether it's at work, here, maybe in your families, everyone's kind of just dragging around, you know? They're sort of limping by, going through the motions. And it feels like sometimes when you're around a lot of us, and I'm like I said, I'm doing this to you. I almost didn't come today. It's like a whirlpool, right? You get caught up in it. You ever been a joyful person? Clearly, this doesn't apply to me. But you've been a joyful person, and then you get caught up in somebody's grumpiness? Yeah? Yeah, I have. I'm usually the grumpy one. People get sick. Genuinely, right? And let's use church as an example. Could be at work, too. But miss service, we see that they miss service, right? Even though there's legitimate reasons, like the remnant plagues going around us happens once a year. It's a compliment. We're around each other a lot. People get sick. That's what happens. We see they miss service. We see like 20 people not here that are normally here. And we start to go, well, maybe this whole church thing, faith thing, doesn't seem to be real important to the people around me, right? Because we don't believe, like, again, if you're sick, you're sick. But you know what I mean. You know the thoughts that go in your head. The person that you usually sit with doesn't come. You know they're not going to be there. So you start to say, this whole church faith thing doesn't seem to be real important to the people around me. Maybe it's not really that important. I'm tired too, right? That's the voice in our head. I'm sick. I'm busy. I'm sad. I'm cold. I'm tired. And those are real things. And why do I have to keep doing this when so-and-so isn't doing this and nobody else is doing this and, you know, on and on and on. Matter of fact, you know, it's a good point. I deserve a break too. It's cold outside. It's very cold right now. And the thing is, we can go through seasons, and I confess it to you, our faith can get cold too. Now, here's something they don't tell you about when you become a Christian. You don't get to change anymore. Like, you don't get to go back, I mean, to the way it used to be. And you want to sometimes, because life seemed easier. It did, right? When you don't have to think about being good, right? Trying to do the right thing. When you just do whatever you want, life is easier. It's not better, but your mind tricks you. So what I'm trying to say is when our faith gets cold, it's not like job. It's not like some days I go through weeks or months at my job where I'm on fire and excited to be there, and sometimes I don't. Because our faith is our life, it mixes. And so if your faith gets cold, your life gets cold. And when your life gets cold, we're human beings, ready? We get sad, depressed. We start to, what's the point? And if I'm just preaching to me, that's fine. But I have a feeling some of you feel the same way. And you guys are good people. You're here today. They're good people that aren't, but you're here today. Which means even when you're limping, even when you're tired, even when you're stuck in the ice, you love God enough. Some of you are just interested enough. Maybe some of you for that pretty girl or boy next to you. It doesn't matter. Whatever reason, there's something. You have enough faith to get here, but the truth is you're limping in to the new year. And the thing is, I get told this a lot if you're here a lot. Todd, why are you so grumpy? And I'm working on this, right? I'm coming across that way. But I get really passionate, and this ties in with this because I was old enough to remember life before Christ, B.C., get it? Todd, B.C. And life before Christ was dead. Everything was up and down based on the circumstances of my life. And I'm not saying that still doesn't happen, but the highs and lows, they even out a little bit. Because perspective, because there's a supernatural change. And what happens, going back to the passion, is sometimes I look out and I go, you guys are saints. The Bible says you're saints. You're amazing. Those of you that know Christ, you're amazing people. And we get tricked into thinking that it's all normal. Stay with me, right? That we are just like the world. So when the world gets cold, we get cold. When the world shuts down, we shut down. I'm not immune to this. I get stressed, I get tired, I get hurt, I get upset, I get discouraged. The good side of passion is when the highs are there, I'm ready to rock. Let's go. I will go till I pass out. I'm excited. I get fired up easily. The bad side of that is I can get discouraged really easy. So when I'm discouraged, I'm way down here. I have this dream, you know, and this calling on our life. We all do, but like this church, I'm in this position at least now to be a part of like helping to steer our direction and not lose sight of what made us what we are and moving in the community and not becoming normal. And so what happens is when I start to see normal, which is just people that exist in their faith, they don't live in it, then I can get discouraged. And then I start to guess what? Well, fine. And I start thinking crazy things. This is where I got to be careful and not confess everything. But I start thinking crazy things. You know? I can get selfish enough to go, because you ready? I shouldn't do this. But you have times where you go, well, maybe I should go get a different church and I'll feel better. Ready? You think you're the only one that don't think that? You don't think, like, that voice can come in your head and go, maybe it's the place. If I go to a different place, I'll warm back up. I do that sometimes. But the thing is, then I'm just going, right, to be next to something warm instead of becoming warm. Which means, guess what? I'm always a slave to circumstance. When whatever I'm next to gets cold, I get cold. What's the point? That's the question that can come sometimes in this faith. I'm very evangelical, yeah. Meaning I want to preach to the people in the room that don't know Jesus. That's a lot of times, right? But today I'm talking to us that say we know him. At the end of the day, we can get to this point where we say, what's the point? I can get cold. Like, you know when a fire starts to go out, like after it's raging? I'm so nerdy and emotional and emo sometimes. So like if I'm at a bonfire, you ever been to a bonfire? Raise your hand. And it's really hot. You ever stayed till the end of the bonfire? Sometimes I've done that. And there's like a raging bonfire. There's a big party, people around. And then I sit there and wait. And then the fire's dying down. And there's like two pieces of wood that are kind of flickering. And then I look around and nobody's around. And I go, how symbolic. Right? The party's over. It's died down. That's what it feels like lately. In my faith and in this church and even in this world with Christians. What happens when a church starts to grow cold? Does God stop loving us? No. Well, he's so faithful, isn't he? Holds on to us even when I get cold. He's so good. It doesn't hurt him when I become cold, right? It makes him sad because I'm not living the life that I'm meant to live. But what happens? So it's not a salvation thing, but when it starts to go, what happens to a church when it grows cold? It starts to fade away, like those embers. First, it stops being warm. You don't feel it. You don't feel the love. You don't feel, right, serving each other. Then, so what it does is, fire puts out what? Heat. You're thinking it's your light too, but heat, yeah, heat. So when it starts to die down, it stops doing what it was meant to do, which is warm people up. If you've been in that foyer today, we need a fire in there. It's very cold, right? So first it stops doing what it's supposed to do. Then what does it do? Then it stops giving light. It stops pointing, right? It stops showing us the surrounding area. It stops giving us perspective. It's like a fire. It dies out. It fades away. A church is made up of the people. The Bible says we're a body. Isn't it crazy how God works? He goes, I'm going to make you guys understand this. So, a church can only grow cold when the people that make up the church begin to grow cold. When they begin to let their fire die out. When we grow cold, we don't just start to grow apathetic, sad, have a dreary life ourselves, which you do. There is a part of this that's okay to be selfish. Are you sad, mopey? What's life like? You ready for some real truth? I have to look in the mirror and admit this. It's much easier for me to feel sorry for myself. I got to look in the mirror and say, am I really? Where's God at? And God's like, where are you at? It's like there's a big fire and I'm cold, but I'm across the room. Why isn't the fire coming here? It's like, you just got to take a couple steps closer. It's not only that we'll have a sad, dreary life ourselves, but we can affect the people around us. What I'm saying is, listen to me. I told you, God had a purpose for you being here. You don't like my face, that's okay, I don't like it either. Whatever the reason is, listen to the message today. Because God has something for you here. Listen, even if I never see you again, God's word is good. Listen to this. Here's the question for you today. How are you doing? If you can't even hear that question, already showed me how you're doing. How are you doing? What's the temperature of your heart? I'm not a Christian. That's okay. What's the temperature of your heart? I'll ask you anyway. What's the temperature of your heart? You know what I mean. Does it, you know, of your faith, you're a believer. Does it feel alive? You feel like you're living in an Acts church? Well, I can tell you if I took a picture and showed you guys your face. You guys look like you're in an Acts church? Does it feel alive, your heart or your faith? Sit in that for a second. Do you feel alive or are you just existing? Does it feel like you're really living? Does it feel like you're empowered by the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead? Because that's what the Bible says. You believe it? I can say your name, Jericho. You believe that? That the Bible says that this supernatural...
Well, people don't raise from the dead.
It happened. And it raised from the dead. The same power that raised a man from the dead resides in you. The Bible says that. Why does he say that? Right? He wouldn't have to tell us that. What a crazy thing to think about. Part of it is because we've got to understand that we don't have to be dictated by the circumstances around us. If that power can break the natural laws of life and bring a dead person to life, can it restart the fire of our heart? Can you have happiness when it doesn't feel like you can? Can you have a life outside of your girlfriend or boyfriend when it feels like you can't? Your husband, wife, job, money. And again, I started out by confessing to you where I'm at. I'm no better. But the reason for that for me is I become that way when I'm just playing church. I am the worst church player there is, period. I am terrible at it. I am. I'm not good. If this isn't real, if there isn't a literal power living inside of me that raised Christ from the dead, right? There is. But if there wasn't, like, I would never play this game. I'm not good at that. I'm too stubborn. I'm too rebellious, right? So, like, you know, some people will go with the crowd to be happy, and they're like, I will be happy at church because everybody's happy. I'm the kind of guy that goes, if this ain't real, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy because you tell me to be happy. I'm going to be the opposite, right? That's silly, but that's the truth. Does your life feel like it's worth living? I'm not talking about in a suicidal way, though some, I mean, I'm talking about, like, does life actually feel like you're living, or are you just existing? Does it feel like you're sleepwalking, daydreaming? If you know, you know, right? I woke up this morning, drank my coffee, and how am I back in my bed? Like, life and your faith is gray, stuck, and cold. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, 14 and 15. Ooh, I caught him. I caught him. Ooh, got you, boy. Anyway, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives life for all who are in the house. That's so interesting. So he's talking to disciples, the people that are his people, and he's saying, you are the light of the world, period. Why? We're the only people pointing people to the true light, right? Jesus Christ, it says in John 1, Jesus is the light of the world, right? He leads people to the truth. That's us. So there's another sign that he's in us. We are light of the world. What happens when you take the light out? It's just dark. I know that seems simple, but stay with me. So he's telling his own people, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill. A city on a hill is built so everybody can look at it and go, ah, there we go. We just got to make it to the city. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a basket, but rather on a lampstand and gives life for all who are in the house. The house being life, this world. Here's the question. Why would he tell his believers that sometimes, why would he give the example, this ridiculous picture of someone lighting a lamp and putting a basket over it? Unless we have a tendency to do that. When we grow cold, we're putting a lamp, right? We're putting a basket over that. Sometimes I walk around just using me, and I was like, would I want the Jesus that my life reflects? If I was someone else, would I want that? Here's the question. Then he goes on to say, hey, you're the salt of the world. What's salt do? A lot of stuff. Salt purifies, right? Purifies water. Salt makes things tastier, enhances flavor. He goes, you're the salt of the earth. But what happens if a salt loses its saltiness? Sounds silly. It's saying it has no purpose anymore. In the same section after, he says the same thing. So your salt, your light, there's this indication that Jesus says it's not a salvation thing. You can lose what makes you warm, bright, and salty. I just spit everywhere, sorry. How's your light and how's your saltiness, believer? Here's a way to know, okay? convicting to me too. If I videoed your life at work, do you look different? I don't care if you work at a Christian organization. I don't care where you work. If I watch you for a week and I put it up and I compare it to your coworkers, do I look at it and go, something's different about that guy, that girl? At the gym, at McDonald's, I don't know. Because if the answer is there's not much of a difference, or how about at home? That's a hard one, isn't it? I'm good outside, but what about at home? If I compared you and Bob, the husband over here, or Bob, the guy, does it look different? And again, not a so. God loves us even when we're silly and cold and shut down, right? When we put our faith in him, he's faithful to us. We're not faithful to him. It's not a salvation thing. But where's your saltiness? How's your light? Do you let the world's darkness make you dim your light? Or do you say, uh-uh, I'm going to change this place just by being light? Because that's the crazy part. I've said this before. Someday I'll plan well and I'll do this. If I shut all the lights off, it gets really dark in here, all of them. And I go in this back corner and I light a match, just a match. You will all see that match. One small match. How crazy is that? Here's the truth that's hard to face. When we grow cold, listen, you ready for the reason? The reason we don't want to hear? Believers, non-believers in the room, you don't really have a purpose. I'm being honest with you. Listen to this, though. This is part of the same. The reason it's hard to face, the reason we grow cold is this. We have forgotten the truth with a capital T. We've become blinded by temporary circumstances to eternal reality. Get it? So I'll use our life. In the summer, it's warm. You're wearing your short shorts, right? Whatever. Guys, right? I'm telling you what, go to the gym now. Our shorts are getting shorter and shorter. I was with you guys till I was here. I can't do it anymore, all right? I tried to be hip and cool. I got to thigh level. I'm not going any higher, all right? And that's not just for me. That's for you. So can we all be in agreement, guys? We're done. We're here. We're not going up here, all right? Let's stay down here. Show a little quad. I'm cool with that. Anything above? Because that's why you do it, right? You want to see that little teardrop? I know what you... That went way off. But anyway, we've become blinded to eternal reality. Listen to this story. I wasn't going to read the whole thing, but I think it's really powerful. I want if you're going to zone out, which some of you will, can you at least zone back in at the very end? But for those that are going to be here for the whole time, listen to this story, how crazy it is. This is a story, real fast, where Jesus is, he's out doing miracles, and someone comes to him and says, hey, your best friend, one of his best friends is dying. So you can picture that. You need to come because I know you can, they know he can heal. If Jesus can get there, he can save this person, right? So Jesus goes, and then Jesus stops and does a bunch of other stuff. So by the time he gets there, bad news, he's dead. So if you have your Bibles, you can. If not, you just look up here. It's John chapter 11, starting at verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. This man's dead for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. Lazarus was their brother. He died. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Right? That's rational. Makes sense. You've seen this guy do stuff. Would you be a little upset? You would. But I like her heart here because she's real, but then she says this, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. What a weird little thing. If you would have just been here, but you can do whatever you want. I've seen you do this. And then Jesus, your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. This is such a Christian thing. Life's going to get better. I know it'll get better when Jesus comes back. I'll just be depressed till then. Listen, Jesus said to her, this is the point. Remember when I told you to zone out, zone back in? Zone in. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Who is? I am. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Ooh. Jill, goosebumps again. She's just going to say yes now so I don't come closer. Do you believe this? I cannot tell you how many times I've probably read this. And this week I read it again and I was like, poof. She says to him a truth. It's a truth for us. When we die, things will get better. I mean, that is reality. When Jesus comes back, life's hard. That is a truth. And Jesus could have just said, you're right. Wait till then. And he says, you're missing it. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Everyone that comes to me will live again. And then this crazy question that's bigger than that. Do you believe this? You ready? Jocelyn, I can allow to say names if it's friendly. Ready? It's a jacket. You know I like it. Listen, do you believe this? The question for us, the reason we grow cold, the things that you have to be serious about this. Do you believe this? Believe what? Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he was? Do you believe that you're saved? Do you believe he still interacts in your life? Do you believe that he's going to finish the good work he said he's going to finish in you? Do you believe that he works out all things for the good of those who believe according to his purposes? Do you believe that he said, I will never let go of one of these that you've given me? Do you believe that he loves us? Do you believe that nothing will separate you from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor angels or demons? Nothing can separate. You can't even separate you from him when you put your faith in him. Do you believe that he's good? Even when evidence seems to point by the circumstances of your life that he's not, do you still believe it? When you did it, when that day that you put your faith in him, when you became a Christian, you know that new feeling? And it kind of fades over time. It doesn't fade. We get colder. But here's a question. Do you still believe it? That's the question. Sandy, that's the question. Do you believe this? So you're cold, your faith dead, right? Or dying. You're probably not dead yet because you're here. If it was dead, you wouldn't be here. You're here. You're struggling. What's the point? Right? What's the point of all this? It doesn't make me as happy as video games, the body, the bottle, the pills, the computer, whatever the thing is. Do you believe this? So maybe you're an ember right now, right? Remember the sad story about the bonfire and the people leaving? Symbolism, right? Maybe that's us. Do you want to be rekindled? So how do you start a fire? You got to add some fuel to it, right? You got to poke it a little bit. Isn't it funny? That's what we do. There's a fire dying. The first thing we do is poke it. If you really think about how crazy that is, fire, poke, right? Poke it, fire come, right? Like we're cavemen still, right? right? We know that we poke it and then we put fire. Every time. I've never seen anyone put it on first. First thing we do, poke, right? Oxygen is science by that. We poke it, you got to put some kindling on it. The question is for me, maybe I'm preaching to me, and that's okay because I need this. I need my faith rekindled. On my notes here, I got two names for this message, rekindle and revive. I need to be rekindled and I need to be back alive. I'm talking about people in this church that are good, faithful people. You are so faithful, but you do it out of this beautiful, dutiful faith. But inside, I mean, it's beautiful. I think God's going to honor that, but you're miserable. You're sad. The reason is because you have forgotten that he is the resurrection and the life, that this is real. It's not even words on this page. There's a crazy verse where Jesus says, now don't take this out of context. I don't have it for you, but he tells the religious people, he says, you pore over the scriptures looking for life, and I'm right here to give it to you. So if you're like me, which I hope you're not, but if somebody, if this part of you like me and you're going, this all sounds good, but what does that tangibly mean? I'm going to read a section, and it's kind of wordy. By the way, the guy who wrote this, Peter, the fisherman, the fact that he writes something this eloquent and wordy proves the power of God. This is an uneducated fisherman. And when you read this, you're going to be like, did Einstein write this? Right? It's like, why couldn't you use normal words? But I want you to listen because there's, I mean, I could point to a million things, but I think it's a section that I don't know if I've ever preached from, but it's pretty powerful because I think it gives us a clue on how to rekindle our faith, which in turn is going to rekindle our life. 2 Peter chapter 1, right there at the beginning. Isn't that good? Starting at verse 3. We're going through 12. I'll give you time to look by buying time, by doing a dance. No, I'm just kidding. Right? You see that? Oh, Eli. Anyway, Eli, come up here. Let's dance. I'm just kidding. Don't. His heart stopped. It stopped. I saw it. He's like, it's not going to make me do this. All right, 2 Peter 1. I bought you a ton of time at my expense. All right, when you got it, say I got it. Perfect. It's on here if not. His, capital H, who do you think that is? Jesus, God, right? They're the same. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. Okay, I'm going to stop there. That sentence got me. Wait a minute. Oh, man, I just don't feel like life's happening for me. And then all of a sudden, I read this. His divine power has given us everything required for life. Here we go again. I love how God works. The same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in you. And then there's a reminder here. Ready, Jericho? You're going to love this. His divine power, the power that's in you, has already given you everything required for you to have life and godliness. Has he given you, does that mean he's given you everything required for a miserable, mopey life? I don't need help for that. All right? I can do that on my own. What's cool is there's a connection between life and godliness. That's the problem with the world, right? They can have happiness for a time, but it never lasts. And you got to go to the next thing and the next thing. Because the only way to have a full life, to have meaning and purpose, is when we are in relationship with God. When we are pursuing the things of God. What does that mean? It's Christianese. I don't like Christianese either. I'm going to define this for you today. I'm going to break it down. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. Well, that kind of punches me. The whole depressed, mopey Eeyore thing. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, what's that? His power, the knowledge of him, by his glory, his goodness, by his glory and goodness, he has given us very great and precious promises. So that through them you may share in the divine nature. Jack, this is wild. You like mythology? Divine, you want to share in God-like nature. I'm not being heretical here. I'm not saying you're God. But there's a connection there. That the life of God, right? I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the resurrection. That we can be connected to that. Jesus was actually pretty jolly, considering he knew he was going to die. Go read it. How? By these, he has given us very great and precious promises that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. He has given you a way through his nature to rise above the circumstance of the world. Which means even when what? It's cold outside. I know it's a little symbolism. I'm breaking it down for you. Just because it's cold, because everyone around you is stuck, maybe even the people in this church are quitting. Maybe you can get sucked into the whirlpool, or you can what? Partake, for lack of a better word, of this divine nature and rise above it. For this very reason, what reason? To help you escape. Make every effort to supplement your faith. So I've got faith, I'm good, I like that, right? You're saved, but we got to supplement it. We got to do something. God partners with us to supplement your faith with goodness. Everybody's like, I'm good. You ain't good. Me either most of the time, right? Faith with goodness, your goodness with knowledge, your knowledge with self-control, your self-control with endurance. That means you're going to keep going even when you don't want to. In endurance with godliness, there we are again. Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. Brotherly affection could also be kindness. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you possess what? Godliness, endurance, faith, all of these things that it just listed off. Listen, you listen to Oprah tell you 10 things to get happier. Let's try to listen to what God says, right? This is good. Listen. That was only playful sarcasm. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, meaning if you continue to pursue these, if you can increase these, it's not about earning it because we already have faith. Remember, he said supplement the faith. We're already saved. But if you can add these things to your faith, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's break it down for human. Do you know when people get most depressed? When they don't have a purpose. You ever had a job you absolutely hated? People are like, I'm in it right now. Okay, stay with me. By the way, you have endurance because you keep going. But certain jobs, the jobs I used to hate the most were not the ones, I hated the ones that tore my body apart and destroyed me and, physically were laborious. But the ones I hated the most were busy work. You ever have those? Have you ever worked for a place where everything was done for the day and you could go home and it doesn't affect and they're like, go sweep a floor that's already been swept 10 times? I always think two things. I want to be like, you guys are practicing bad business. You are paying me to do nothing because you want me to just stay here. I used to hate that. But the point is, have you ever had, when we, the reason those jobs are meaningless or the reason that we hate them is because there's no purpose to them. It just becomes what? I'm sweeping a clean floor. If you possess these qualities, you'll stop being useless. You're not useless, but if you don't have a use, if I'm just a knot on a log, that's what we say in the South. I don't know if you still say it around here. If I'm just a bump, if I'm just a hint, hint, right? If that's all I am, then I'm going to start thinking that's all I am. And if that's all I am, why am I going to move? What's the point? Or unfruitful. Purpose, right, leads to effect. When people feel worthless, that means what? I don't have value not only to myself, but to other people. You see how it ties with unfruitful? I'm just here. An apple tree that doesn't grow apples, what do we do with that? If that kind of tree exists, and we got an orchard, and there's a tree that grows no apples, do we just let it sit there and keep eating? That's how we view ourselves. We're like, oh, there's no point. No fruit. I'm worthless. It's not true. In the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the person who lacks these things, so I told you what happens if you have them, the person who lacks these things, boy, if this sounds like me sometimes, is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Here's a new question. Have you forgotten this? The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing. This is for remnant people that come every week and they don't pay attention, right? I got to go away for 6 months and come back like Batman. And then you guys will be like, oh, there's Batman. All right, listen, pay attention. Listen to me. When we don't have those things, this is what's leading to your life feeling cold and stuck. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. It doesn't say ensure your calling and election. Calling and election means you're a Christian, you're saved. It's not saying prove it, confirm it, right? Show it. It's going to be shown, right? It's more solid when you do these things. Make every effort to live up to who you are. You are a daughter or son of God himself. The Bible says that. To them who did believe, he gave the right to be called children of God. Is your life reflecting that value? If you really believed that, if I believed I was son of the king and really believed I was loved like that, I'm not going to be doing this. My struggle would probably be like, that's me looking cool. Anyway, it's hard to even pretend that. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. Does that mean you're never going to sin, you think? It's going to minimize it. What is being stuck if not stumbling? For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be richly provided for you. Doesn't mean those things save you. Go back to confirmation. In doing so, you're proving what you are, right? And you can be sure of your place with him. You get what I mean? Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you have now. Remind them about these things. I will always remind you about these things. Do I have to remind you to breathe? No, you just do it. Do you have to remind me to be Eeyore? No, that's my natural tendency. Okay? But sometimes I need reminding that I have value. Sometimes I need reminding that God loves me and is with me. Sometimes I need reminding that I'm not forgotten. Sometimes I need reminding that I have value. Sometimes I need reminding of what? That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and that it's all real and it's all true and he hasn't forgotten me. Not just for when I die or when he comes back, but Jesus said, I have come to give them life and give it to the full. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, the Bible says. So I'm going to say this, remind you about these things. In this here is a reminder. Remind you about what? Of what? The truth. You have to be reminded. What's the truth? It's all real. Listen to me. Hey, Christian, I've been Christian for 45 years. I've had every sermon in the world, and I get to hear Stephen Furtick, and he's really awesome. So I know all of these things. All this stuff is good and true, but you need to be reminded again. Listen, God is real. The Christian faith is real. I don't need to prove it. You know it is. I'm talking to you, Christian. You didn't stop believing, you just forgot. You forgot that the guy who grabbed you in the midst of your sin and saved you when it made no sense, who's changed your life, who has blessed you. Sometimes the struggles can seem bigger than the blessings, but if you slow down and you look at your life, you go, Lord, you have blessed me. The very fact you're in this room breathing, this is real. There is a God who's in your life, who's watching you, who's interacting with you, who's shaping you, who's molding you, who's guiding you, who answers your prayers. That is a fact. He created the earth. He sees you. Your problems aren't too big for him. And listen, your problems aren't too small for him. I hear that all the time. He's got bigger things to do. You know how silly that is? He don't need you to manage his schedule. He's doing just fine. Have you forgotten? Do you believe this? If you're cold, if life feels gray, listen, Christian, elder, pastor, deacon, person that's been in church forever, person that's never, listen, do you believe it? You need to remember it. He existed, your faith existed before your role, before your position, before your relationship that you may be struggling through, before your financial problems. He is still good. And the goodness of God is so awesome because he didn't do like other religions. Everything will be great if you do exactly this perfect thing. He said, life's going to be hard. There will be trials and tribulations. But the promise is, I have overcome the world. And because you are in me, so have you. Do you believe this? If your life feels gray, if you're just going through the motions, here's the question I have for you today. Are you just going to stay there? Are you going to start this year after all the hubbub and my New Year's resolution? That's the sound of those things, right? And all the things you did to party and celebrate. Are you really going to settle for cold and gray when God has blessed you with another year? You're going to settle for, eh. If you know, you know, eh. Sometimes I respond to texts that way. How you doing today? Eh. I've done that. Yeah, Zach, what is that? Eh. Anyone else ever done that? Just me? Yes. All right, cool. You know what we're meaning. Eh. I defined it by saying it again. Anyway, are you going to stay there? Are you going to waste time? My biggest fear is looking at the time that I've wasted. Some of you in this room, I talked to you about this. You're a time person. You get all sad because time's coming and it's passing. Here's the question. Your worrying and your sadness about what's already gone is robbing you of the joy and the excitement of what is now and what is in the future. Because guess what? Quoting Andy from The Office. I wish I knew I was in the good old days when I was in them. What are you waiting for? A person? If she comes, I'll be happy. If he comes, I'll be happy. Now listen, that's good. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Once I get this new job, once I get this, once I get that. Man, then are you warm and alive, or are you that person that's like, oh cool, I'm next to something hot, and when it's hot, I'm hot, and when it's not, I'm not. Are you going to sleepwalk, daydream, live for little moments of selfish distraction, and then say, why did I waste my time with that? Why don't I feel alive? Are you just going to exist, or are you going to live? Teens, I'm going to talk to you because sometimes you listen. That's how fast high school goes. I know you don't believe that. I didn't either. You got to be a person that sees beyond what all your friends are trying to suck you into. Right? Don't just exist. Don't get carried away by the culture. By the way, I said it was to the teens, but who's that? It's to everybody. Are you going to live? Are you going to let the fire of your faith and life just die out because it's cold outside, because the circumstances are stuck? So you can't change them. Sometimes, you know, I've told this many times, I have wasted 3 to 5 years of my life, legit. I sat around depressed and sad because circumstances had handed me a rough card. Some I brought on myself, some I didn't, and I was waiting for someone to come and fix it. I didn't go to God to fix it. I was waiting for some external thing. Well, instead of realizing how, I mean, all the things, the time that I wasted being sad at what I didn't have. And I'm not, you know, sadness is going to come, but we have a choice to sit in it. You want a clue? Stop living your life, letting your emotions direct your life. Move and trust that the emotions will catch up. There is truth to that. Saying that as a guy who struggles with that sometimes. The culture wants you to, like, emotions are most important. Feel good and then life will be good. No, no, no. Move towards life and the feelings will catch up. They're slower. Are you going to let the fire of your faith and life just die because it's cold and the people around you are cold? Or are you going to say, no, I will not treat this faith like normal. I am done. I don't care if the Christians around me are. I don't care if the other remnant folk around me are. I'm going to be different. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to live like this is real, which means do crazy things. Godly crazy things. I had to say that part. Somebody starts streaking through. That's not what I mean. Are you going to say, no, I will not treat this like normal. I will not fade away. I will not live a life of religion. Religion is about getting a fire going on the outside and getting to stand warm. No, or am I going to be the fire, be the light that God told me I am? I will not sit by while people around me walk in darkness when I have light. I will not put a basket over my light. I will stop being ashamed of my faith when people are going to die. I don't want to look uncool. Whew, interesting. Cool. I didn't even mean for that. That's so good. Cold, cool. Anyway. I will not sit by with people along darkness. I will not settle for normal. I will seek the kingdom of God. I will fight to live. I want to feel alive, be alive. I want to stoke the fires of my faith so hot that the people around me cannot help but be warmed and drawn to Jesus Christ. That sounds good. Every Christian in the world will go, mm-hmm. Do you want that? I'm going to be so crazy and loving and kind. I won't be perfect, but I'm going to live this life like it's real. So just like in Acts, people go, something's wrong with those people, but I kind of like it. That's what it says in Acts. They were doing crazy things, and guess what happened? Their number was being added to daily. I wonder why churches aren't growing. We're going to be just like the world. Come be with us. We're like, why would I do that? I can sit at home and watch football. We got to be different.
I do it, Todd. I come here. Yep, but this is you.
I hate this. Come to church with me. Do it. Right? That's how some of you are. I'd be like, I wouldn't come either when you invite me. Come to church. It's so good. God loves me and you. Right? Here's a question. I'll say it's a statement. I wrote it as a statement, so I'll say the statement and ask a question. I want to see the miraculous in 2025. Amen. I've seen it before. I see it every day, really. I just get used to it. I'm like, that's not good enough. It's just bread. I want to see someone rise from the dead. And then if I did that, right? Jesus even said that. They're like, give me a miracle. And he's like, you wouldn't believe even if I raised someone from the dead. That's such a crazy line. Right? Foreshadowing, he says that. If they didn't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe even if someone was raised from the dead. It don't matter what sign I give you, you're going to want the next one. That's what the world wants. We're Christians. I don't want to forget the day that he gave me bread when there was no bread. I don't want to forget the day, and this is real for me, when I was homeless and he goes, hey, guess what? You're not homeless anymore. I don't want to forget the day. This is true. I don't talk about this a lot. Maybe I should do this more, tell you some of the crazy. I'm too Eeyore-ish. Couldn't walk for 7 months. That's a fact. Right? Raise your hand if you're in my life during this period so people can believe me. And I could not physically walk. I would literally try because I'm stubborn. I would go, fall to the ground, literally. I fell in an alley, crying, right? And then God one day, they said, hey, you will not be able to function again if you do not have this surgery. And sometimes God works through surgeries and all that stuff. That's real. But I was told that. You will not function normally if you do not do this. I didn't want to have surgery because then he said, if you do that, I was like, oh, cool, can I still play sports and work out? He goes, no, why would you want to? I'm just trying to get you to walk. God says, eh, let me show you what I do. That's a miracle. Do you want to see the miraculous in 2025? Do you want to actually do it? What if seeing the miraculous means you got to do something different? That's always where I get you. Yes, I do. You're going to have to do something different. 2024 gone. Whatever you did at the end, it wasn't bad all year, but that probably led you to this cold, stuck place. In order to get unstuck, just like our cars, when we got to get up in the morning and scrape it off, and I'm so cold. Sometimes I do crazy things like walk out with no shoes on just to teach the cold I don't care, right? He stays cold. I don't know why, but and I usually get punished by that. My point is you got to be willing to do something different. I know that for myself. This has to move from nice sermon, maybe, to actually doing something. Do I know how it's going to get better? No, I have no clue. Am I telling you that the circumstances are going to change tomorrow? But I am guaranteeing that you will warm up if you do the things I'm about to tell you. You thought I was just going to leave you with no list, Jill? Come on. I got you. Heaven, you love lists, do you? Or are you like me? You don't take notes, do you? Me either. Oh, you do? I don't. So that's good. They're all up here. One time at an interview for a really prestigious position, I was talking to the CEO of a company. He goes, hey, all right, I like everything I'm seeing. I go, Todd, how do you keep everything organized in your day-to-day life? This is a true story. I was right out of college. You know, I'm like in this big interview. Made it through like 6 interviews. Like, I'm about to take over the world. That's what's about to happen. He goes, do you use a planner? I go, nope. It's all right here. I didn't get the job, right? Because that's ridiculous, right? You have to do something. That's a true story. I was so confident, too. I was like, I'm getting this job. I could tell as soon as I said that. I thought he'd be impressed. Like, wow, this guy's got a sharp mind. And he goes, oh, you foolish young man, right? You leave. If you want to see the miraculous in 2025, you want a life that's different, better. I don't know when or how. I didn't say easier. Okay, it's not easier. Easier is doing what everybody around you is doing. It's easier to be cold than hot. What are you willing to do? And what will you do in the year to come? No, what are you going to do today? Right now. How do we do this? Well, Peter tells us in the section above, For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, your goodness with knowledge, your knowledge with self-control, your self-control with endurance, your endurance with godliness, your godliness with brotherly affection, your brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ready? Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, love. Ready? What does that mean? You got to walk this out. Stop with the lazy faith. Stop with the, I go to church on Sunday when Todd yells at me. I ain't got time to yell at you about coming to church. Look around. 30 members not here, right? What I'm saying to you is you've got to walk this out. I got to live this again like it was when I first became a believer. New believers just crush us in the race of faith, dude. They just sprinting around us. Some of you in this room convict me all the time. I would love to say your name and encourage you, but you'll probably think I'm being mean. So I'm trying not to. But some of you, like, literally, you don't even know that I'm like, man, that person is, like, convicting me because they just, they are coming. They are going. They don't even have any Christians around them, and they just keep doing this. That means something really happened in their life, which means they're saved, which means me go, oh, shoot, so was I. You got to walk this out. How do we do that? You thought I was going to leave you again? You thought that was it? Wouldn't that be funny if the list was just walk this out? You'd be like, all that build up for nothing. But here's the thing. I'm going to give you a list, but it's not going to be any some new thing. Sorry. But here's the key. Rekindle your faith and your life. All right, see how they did this. It's not how I wanted it, but okay. I'm just kidding. All right. He did put it here, and I wish it was in italics, but it's good for you. It's not about what you want. It's about what you need. Stop thinking about life as what you want. I want to do this. I want to do things all the time, which is why this is here, right? Right? That is not always good for me. You have to start thinking of what do I need? All right, number one, I'm already losing you because it's not exciting. You got to commit to prayer. I put commit for a reason. If I just put prayer, you're like, cool, I'll keep doing it. Commit to prayer. That means talk to God, ask God, speak to God all the time when you don't want to. When you don't think he's going to answer and you're like, well, there's no point because I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. The act of faith it takes to speak to him and ask him is faith. Like I said, I love my daughter, right? She's a crazy person. She runs around. I don't sit and go like, man, why isn't she running the 100 meters in 9 flat? I just look at her and go, man, she's fast right now. He meets us where we're at. Take the step of faith. Stop pretending. It wasn't anger. It was passion. Stop it. Some of you all in this room, man, I do want to come shake you a little bit. You're like, I do this when I want to, and that's why you're sad. Stop living your life what you want. Do what you need. Commit to prayer. Why? God knows we need him. We were made to be in relationship with him. God wants us to rely on him because he knows what we need. And he has the willingness and the power to give it. Not always the way we want. I've used this example a ton. Being a parent has taught me that, okay? She thinks she knows better than me all the time. All the time. She doesn't, right? But she thinks she does. If I gave her everything she wanted all the time, she would be dead. You get that? I know what she needs. And prayer combats our natural tendency to try to supply our own fire. Well, I'm good enough on my own. I'll be successful. I'll get the woman. I'll get the girl. And then I'll be warm. No, you know that ain't gonna work because then you want the next thing. Prayer puts us in a place of humility that reminds us of who God is and who we are and that we need him. It prevents us from trying to be our own God. You get what I mean? Our natural tendency is to put ourselves on the throne. When I'm putting myself on my knees and praying to God, it keeps me in a position of humility. Challenge for some of you. Stop praying just willy-nilly. Some of you take the time. It's a posture thing, not because you have to. Get on your knees. I know it sounds weird. There's a reason why, though. There's that little pride thing. Get on your knees and pray. Do it. See what happens. Commit to that for a while. Number two. Ooh, I got to move. You don't like this one. Go to church.
I'll go when I have nothing better to do and I feel like it.
No. Remember, what you need, not what you want. Go to church.
Well, what if it's cold outside?
That's what you sound like when you give me those excuses, right?
It's cold outside. I don't want to.
Right? That is making fun of you. Don't do that. Go to church. Like I said earlier, and this is a true story. I almost want to tell the guy because he's got a sermon. I almost didn't come today. And honestly, I had a decent reason, but it wasn't the real heart of it. I get discouraged. I get frustrated. I'm like, no one's going to care anyway, right? I get stuck in my feelings. And then, so I understand if this is my job and I don't want to come sometimes, I know you don't want to. But just like here's me being an example for once in my life. I wasn't going to get fired if I didn't come today. Bottom line, I'm not going to get, some of you are like, what? No, I ain't going to get fired. One time, probably. There's many other things they could fire me for. That one, not going to, probably wouldn't got fired today. I didn't come because I wasn't going to get fired. I came because God deserves that, and so do my brothers and sisters. Do you think that way? Go to church. If you're a guest, God bless you. It doesn't have to be here. I promise you, this is one of those things. You go to the gym, right? I'm not just talking to my gym friends here, okay? I'll pick a different one. You want to have a good lawn, you got to mow it right. I don't know. I'm not good. I stay in my wheelhouse here, right? You do bicep curls, even when you, like, I hate doing arms. Weirdly enough, a lot of guys like it. Curls for the girls, I don't like it, right? I don't like doing it. It hurt. I just don't like it. But I do it because I know what I need, right? Because it turns out these actually do things, right? I can't speak. Anyway, this is a function that I need, so do it. We know what it is to do things we don't want to do. Go to church. If you're in a bad mood, go to church. If you're tired, go to church. If you're sick, cool, stay home. But if you're not and you're just doing that thing where, oh, I conveniently have a tickle in my throat, go to church. Be honest with yourself and before God, because if I go to God in prayer, like, God, I don't want to go today, you know, I'm sick, and then sometimes the Holy Spirit goes, are you? I'm like, well, my throat's tingly. I go, yeah, but are you sick? A little bit. Sick of people, right? Whatever it is. When you see how they build on each other, I go to him and he convicts me, and then I go to church. It's not always for you, because that gives you purpose. He deserves to be worshiped. And your people around you need and deserve to be what? Loved with brotherly affection. Go to church. God says to do it. Your excuses don't hold up. Here's the bottom line. People make time for what they want. People make time for what's important to them. Going to church is an honor, not a chore. And until the day you see that, this faith will continue to be blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at you. You're like me. We're Eeyores. Blah, 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 right? She knows who it is. Right? It's an honor, not a chore, to worship the God of the universe. People would trade us in a heartbeat. Okay? Number three. You ready? Make time. Here I go. I had to say it. Make time's in action. I don't have time to read the Bible. My goodness. Let me pull up your, how long you been on that phone this week? Oh, gotcha. Make time for God's word, and I put in parentheses, read it. I don't like to read. Who cares? Who cares? I don't understand it. There's 1,000 verses and versions. Sometimes, let me tell you something, when I first started being a Christian, this is true. This is more proof that God is real and is supernatural. When I first, remember, I got saved. The story I tell you where I got saved and didn't go to church and just got a New Testament, that's real. So for a year, like 2 years out of the New Testament, I started reading it because I'm like, well, I guess I'm a Christian. I should read this thing. You think I understood what that thing was saying half the time? But I would understand parts. And then as you mature in your faith, you understand more. But if I don't read at all, I miss out on the things I would understand. You get what I mean? Read the Bible. I don't feel like it. So what? Read it. This, remember, we got to do it. Read the Bible. If you want help, you're a new believer, you just want to be encouraged. Hey, I'm here. That's my job. I can never find you. You're fibbing. By the way, I sit out at the front desk. Everybody's like, I can't ever talk to Todd. I'm at the welcome desk. None of you come and say hi. Okay? I'm right there. Come say hi. Ask me. I'll tell you. I got some favorite sections. Favorite? There's my southern. Sections for you. Read the Bible. You don't have a Bible? I'll give you one. We have a bunch now. They're nice. We still got some of those, Luke? Okay. He's way more excited than he sounded. All right? We do. Yeah, we do. Make time for God's word. Amen. Number four, worship. I'm going to start with, like, I'm gonna not be like new age Christian-y, right? Worship's everything you do. It is. I'm going to start with something you don't like to do, remnant people. Worship in your church when the music is on. I don't worship. I'm a dude. Cool. College football playoff. Mind if I come to your house and see if you're cheering for Ohio State, Notre Dame? I'm a Notre Dame fan. You don't think I was cheering? Eat that, Georgia, right? Worship him. Not because you feel like it, but because he is God and he deserves it. Let me make it relational for you. Ladies, you got a boyfriend? You ever had one? Girlfriend? Or not a boyfriend? Guys, you got a girlfriend, husband, wife? Do you want them to only love you when they feel like it? Be nice to me when you feel like it. No, you do it because their position in your life deserves it. Worship. Worship. Why? Remember, I'm trying to help you have a fired up life. Well, that's not going to help me. Listen, I'm not moved like music, like the worship team people are. I'm moved by it, but not the same. But I still get moved when I worship the Lord.
I don't like the music. It's too loud.
Boo-hoo, right? We got earplugs back there for a reason, for real. Grab the earplugs. Put them in. I know some people worship God, okay? Invest, number five. Ready? Invest in community. Invest. You have to take time, put yourself in community, go to the meal. Listen to me. Go to that meal. It's awkward. Who cares? Go to that meal. Talk to someone new. Challenge yourself. I will talk to someone even if they don't talk to me. I will talk to someone. You think it's not awkward when I come up to you and try to befriend you and I can clearly tell you don't want to talk to me, but I still do it. At least once. If you hurt my feelings too much, I'll go cry and I'm not coming back. But invest in community. You have to be willing to allow yourself to be transparent, which means I got to come up and say hi. Share your struggles, share your flaws, share your addictions, share your negative things, share the things you're struggling with someone and be transparent. What if they listen? Don't listen? What if they hurt me? What if they don't? Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. I can't help you carry them if I don't know they're there. Ask yourself, if you want to know if you're invested in community, ask yourself this, be honest. If I tape you at church through the week, this is my camera, and I put it up on there, are you going to be in the like documentary of church? Are you the person that is kind, open, loving, in community, or are you not? Be honest. First thing in your head right now is how no one loves me and I try. No, you already got the wrong mindset. Even if you're not being loved, try being the lover. Change. I know it's hard. These people are good people, most of them. I'm just kidding. They're cool people if you're new. By the way, I'm really talking to the remnant people. You don't get in community with each other anymore that often. Remember, my standard is not here, normal church. You guys are better than that. I'm raising you up here. Okay? Are you in community? Do you know each other? Do you spend time with each other? Are you willing to invest? Am I going to go out there, right? You want a garden? You can't just throw some. I mean, you can. You'll get some weeds. Just chuck seed and go, where's my corn? Right? No. Till the ground. Get things ready. You can tell I'm a farmer. All right, six. This is a big one. You want to be rekindled. Serve. Look for ways to love people in your day-to-day life. Challenge. It's a Lionheart challenge, but I'll give it to you. This week, I dare you. Starting today, you're going to like this. It's exciting. I dare you to look for ways to love or serve someone today. And here's the big challenge. You can do family or friends, but one person today has to be not a friend or family member. Oh, I know. Reinhardt guys will tell you this. It gets crazy as time goes on, right? Does that mean, it might mean you go out and pump that person's gas. It might mean that you pay for the person's meal in front of you. I don't know what it is. It might mean you say hi to the grumpy person. I dare you to start doing this and watch how your life starts having more meaning. Because you're going to see miracles, I promise. Am I right? Raise your hand if you've done this. You know who it is. And don't just like humor me. Keep your hand raised if something crazy happened when you did this before. You want to see God move, you got to do God things. That's what he did. Jesus stopped and he loved people. Not just when you're getting paid to. Jill, you get paid to love people. Has to be outside that. She's a nurse. Get it? Anyway. Number seven. Serve. I'm going to stay there. Serve, look ways to love. I know it's going a little long today, but I'm trying to help you rekindle a fire in life. That might take a minute. Outdo one another in showing honor. Become outward focused, not inward focused. Outward focus means I'm sad, but I'm going to spend my time looking for someone else sad, and I'm going to try to make that person have a little bit better day. That's what brotherly affection is. Are you still going to be sad? Maybe, but it's hard to be sad when someone else is smiling. I promise. Because have you ever noticed when you're down, what's one of the first things you tend to do? Isolate yourself. How funny is that? We are made to love people because that's what our Father does. And also, serving and looking for ways to love reminds us of our mission and purpose. Remember, purpose gives us life. It reminds us that we exist for a reason. Number seven, You got to forgive, guys. You want a life that's alive. This is a hard one. I'm a vengeful guy. I'll forgive, but like this is how I am. Is this you? Oh, I forgive them. I will never speak to them again in my life. Ah, cool. I got some of you. You're like me. Yeah, that's not good, right? There's boundaries and times that's good, but I'm talking about like I will do that to like Blake, and I know him. Like he knows what I'm talking about. I'll be like, oh, we're friends. Forgive. This is big. Listen, 2025. Forgive others. But I need to say this to a lot of people in the room. Forgive yourself. If it isn't too big for him to forgive you, it's not too big for you to forgive you. Stop living in the past in shame of that thing that's haunting you. Let it go, because he already has taken it as far and thrown it as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Number 8, choose. That's all caps, Mandy. Choose joy. What does that mean? Norman, you're a joyful guy. He's not a good example. Jack, you're Eeyore like me. You know what we got to do? We got to choose to be joyful and wait for the joy to come. Right? You got to choose the joy and then wait for the joy to come. I'm going to run. And when I run, joy's going to follow me. Got it? Is that too woo-woo? No, do it. I hate admitting this because I like to sit in my misery sometimes because I am Eeyore. I do. But when I choose to be joyful, I am more joyful. Again, I bet you. Do it, chicken. Right? Do it. 2025, do it. Do it. What do you got to lose? You're already Eeyore. Right? The worst it's going to be is you're going to be Eeyore still. What if you end up being Tigger? Right? That'd be great. If you don't know who that is, I'm old. All right. Choose joy. Choose it. Starting today. When you walk out, when you stand up, I can't say names, but I want to. You joyful people, right? You naturally have it. Quit stifling it. Spread it around a little bit. I need a little bit of that, Norman. Throw me some joy, right? Choose joy. And number 9, live radically and passionately and believe. Do you believe this? Do you believe it enough to change the way you live your life? Because that's the proof that you believe it. That's where people get confused. Well, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. That's not what it's saying. It's saying a person whose life doesn't reflect, right, isn't moving, isn't changed, right? Have they really changed? And it's not making you question. It's not about sin. Don't think about the don'ts, the do's. Live passionately and radically. Live in freedom. Live in joy. Live in love. And do it. Walk this out. She's going to come play some music very quickly, right? And I want you to think about 2025. It's here. And I'm talking about let's start church. Church, we got a mission. I know you got comfy because we grew a little bit and things were kind of going good and we might get a new building. We ain't that big. It's time to stay on mission. And part of staying on mission is with each other first. We can't just turn it on for the crowd. They're going to see past that. Look, we love each other, right? Let's live it out. Let's be on fire. Let's be the remnant. We have to choose to do that. Everybody, I love it. I'm not mocking you if you're nodding because it helps me have affirmation. Please nod when you get it. But make the nod reality. It's time to do this again. It's time to be on fire. Let's not shut down till springtime like we normally do. Let's commit to this, to the mission, to loving people, to being a light, to being a city on a hill. And it starts with these things I just said to you. Are you in this room? Are you cold? Is your face stuck and cold? It's time to rekindle your fire. Stop waiting and light that sucker on fire. How do I do it? I gave you 9 matches. Start lighting them and throwing them on. It'll catch. Don't wait. Do it today. You're going to have some time for you, just you and God. What if today's the day that you say, that's it, I'm turning the page. I'm really going to approach this new. By the way, you're going to have things that come against you when you do that. You ever just try to be joyful and then it's like everything falls apart? That's you getting tricked and distracted. You stay on mission, right? You keep doing it. Turn the page. Be new. Let's light your life on fire. Let's light the remnant back on fire. Let's be a city on a hill. Let's do what God has called us to do. If you're in the room and you're like, I'm a member, but I don't really feel like I'm a part of it, you are already a part of it. Get on fire. We need you, right? We do. God has allowed us to come together to be a city on a hill, to love people, to reach people for the kingdom. Are we going to do that, or are we just going to chill and go, I'm good, it's good enough? If you're in this room, you don't have a church home, you feel empty, you feel, you know, you kind of come and go, and you're I know you believe, but you're not really living it. Can I tell you something as a friend? And if you think I'm talking to you, I probably am. Even though I don't know your name, right? That's Holy Spirit. It's time to quit sitting on the sidelines, because you are not going to feel alive and rekindled until you do what God has made you to do. And that is to live a life of faith, not exist a life of faith. You can do it today. It can change today. It's not going to make him love you anymore, right? He loves you. I don't love my daughter more when she does what I tell her to do, but I love to see her happy. I love to see her smiling and laughing. It's my favorite thing in the world. And God's a better parent than me. He wants to see you living a life in 2025, right? But the only way to have life is to be with the one who is the resurrection and the life. That's Christ. Don't wait. Do it today and see what God does. If you're in this room and you feel cold and you're like, yeah, I get it, but you can't answer this question with a yes, honestly. Do you know Christ? Have you actually given your life to him? If it's a, yeah, I like him, that's not the answer he ever gives, or the answer that he's looking for. Do you believe this? Do you believe it enough to change? Do you believe it enough to, what does the Bible say? Confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, and you will be saved. I'm going to tell you the gospel in a nutshell in case you've never told it. It doesn't sound like good news unless you hear the bad news first. God made everything perfect. Everything. And he said, there's one rule. I'm God and you're not. Listen to me. I'll tell you what right and wrong is. And we didn't do a good job of that, and we still don't. Because of that, we were separated from a holy God. A holy God cannot be with something that is not holy, right? White snowball, mud ball. You've heard it if you've been here before. Touch him. The snowball's not white anymore. So God said, you don't want to be with me? Okay. So the branch was snapped off the tree. We're dying. Sin entered the world. Right? That is a fact. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is the natural consequence, the disease that happens when we are no longer attached to the tree of our Creator. So thousands of years of human existence and your brief life has shown you and me what happens when the creation walks away from the Creator and tries to do it on our own. It doesn't go well. So when we couldn't get to God, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible, so that everyone in this room, we have all sinned. Does not matter how good you think you are. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. We will die. We're all going to die. Are you going to die twice? The Bible says that we will all stand before a holy God someday, and we will be judged, you ready for this? On our perfection, our holiness. I don't know about you, but if it's based on me, I'm in trouble. So when we couldn't get to God, it says our best actions are like filthy rags compared to a holy God. When I couldn't be good enough for him, God came down to me. He came down to you. Jesus Christ, God made flesh, entered the world. Jesus of Nazareth existed. He told us how to live, told us what the kingdom would be like, told us what it was supposed to be like, what it can be like, proved he was who he said he was by performing miracles. There's so many witnesses. Then he died on the cross and took the wages that were meant for you and me. Sin, what we are going to, right? Hell, that is what he took on the cross. 3 days later, he died. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. Over 500 witnesses saw the risen Lord. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, right? He is God. He sits there, and he's going to come back, and he's going to fix all this. And the Bible says that he hasn't forgotten. He's not some old man. He's being patient because he wants everyone to come to know him, everyone to be saved. You have not gone too far. You have not sinned too much. You are not used and broken up. You are not too bad. You are not too gross. You are not too far away from God for him to save you today. Today is the day that your life can change. How do you do that? It's the simplest but hardest thing in the world. You have to do what Romans chapter 10 tells you. You confess with your lips. You got to say it. And you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was. And if you do that, if you say, Lord, I believe and I want what you have. I give my life. I turn away from the ways I've done it. I don't understand it all, but I turn away. I want what you offer. Forgive me. Confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, and you will be saved. Do you have to be perfect first? Nope, because ain't nobody perfect. Are you going to be perfect after? Nope, not till the end. But don't leave the same as you came in. There's going to be people up here wanting to pray for you. I know what you're thinking. Oh, they're going to look at me funny. No, they're not. And who cares if they did? If you are in a place that you don't know God, I was you in the chair. I was you. That's not a story. I was not raised a Christian. It's real. I don't get a cookie for telling you this. It's real. And I want you to have the life that he gives. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll do it next week. You have that opportunity. If you're in this room and you just need to rekindle your life, you need to forgive someone, you need to forgive yourself, you need to confess some sin, not so you can be resaved, so you can just start fresh in your heart. Take this time, make it count. Whatever you do, don't leave the same as you came in, because if you do, you're choosing to.